Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Football won't be over for the season, but basketball is in full steam for both pro and college hoops. From all the latest odds, totals, player performance props, to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline is the number one spot for your sports betting needs. Head over to the website and use your mobile devices to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, to get started. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds. Right to Olympic coverage, it's the best in the business. From sports right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, BetOnline is your number one online wagering destination. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports and play your favorite games. BetOnline, where the game starts.
You're listening to Eagles Unfiltered.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
This podcast is powered by Eagle Maven of Sports Illustrated.
Third down and one.
I didn't even say
Hurts. Deeping. First down and a touchdown.
Here are your hosts, Ed Kraz and Connor Miles.
All right, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Eagles Unfiltered, powered by the Believe Podcast Network and presented by BetOnline.ag, the best sports betting website around. Go over to BetOnline.ag, use promo code Believe to get 50% up your matching bonus when you make your first initial deposit. Co-host Connor Miles and my co-host Ed Kraz, as always. I had to bring in a new voice to the show today because I've been doing this podcast with him for the Jaguars, for Believe in Jaguars. It's former Eagles tight end, former Jaguars tight end. Clay Harbor. Clay, I had to bring you on because, you know, you've been entering yourself back into the Eagles atmosphere of analysts. You've been giving out your takes on Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith. But there's one guy that you haven't spoke about yet, which I thought was really interesting since you played the position. You should know it from a technical standpoint better than anyone. That's Dallas Goedert. I'm really curious to hear what your thoughts are on Dallas Goedert, man, because I think he's recognized, at least in the Eagles fan base, as a top five tight end. I wonder what you think about him.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think Dallas Goedert is an amazing player, but I gotta start by saying this, man. I have a beef to pick with Dallas Goedert, right? He was a He was a South Dakota State tight end. I went to Missouri State University, and I pretty much broke all the Missouri Valley Conference tight end records. And I went back to look like 2 years ago, and they're all gone because Dallas Goedert now has all the Missouri Valley Football Conference tight end records. Yeah, he torched them. He wasn't even close. So Dallas, I don't appreciate you breaking all my college records, man, but obviously – well-deserving. The guy's a beast, right? Mm-hmm. I haven't talked much about Dallas Goedert. So I've given my take on Hurts. You know, Hurts is only 23. He's 23 years old. The two quarterbacks everybody's talking about in the draft this year are 23 years old. This guy has done a good job in the time he's had to develop. I think he needs another year. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously I talked about Devonta Smith. We'll get into that later. But I do think Dallas Goedert is a top five tight end. I'll give you my rankings right here. I have Mark Andrews, the best tight end in the league last year, you know, as far as just productivity, the guy can block. Travis Kelce, You know, nobody can doubt what he does. He's an incredible receiver. He's not blocking as much as he used to, but such a smart player. The things he does on the field, best receiving tight end in NFL history, in my opinion. George Kittle, number three, blocker, can big play guy. I think Kyle Pitts, you know, guy at over 1,000 yards, is a rookie. He's a freak athlete. And not far behind Pitts in my book is Dallas Goedert. You know, he's a great player. And then just to quickly, I got Gesicki, Dalton Schultz, Gronk is still getting it done, Dawson Knox, and at 10, I got Zach Ertz. But getting back to Goddard, he's in tight ends, right? He's 18th in targets. Not great, but he's 5th in yards. So this guy is making the most of his catches. Mm-hmm. He graded out at 89% on PFF, looks like my old report cards, all those Fs. Yeah, he graded out 89, that's great, 4 TDs. He had 56 receptions, which is a little low for Goddard, but right. Everybody in front of him had at least 5 more targets than he did. So he's been doing well. He's gotten good yards, good receptions. I think he left a few plays on the field. He dropped a couple open balls. I think he's got good hands. For whatever reason, he dropped a couple open balls. He'll take that into a 1,000-yard season next year, I think. I'd like to get your guys' take on if you think he's a top 5 tight end.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. But, you know, my question, I guess, Clay, would be the blocking aspect. I mean, tight ends in college nowadays seem to really just be used as that extra wide receiver. I don't know what it was like when you were back in your playing days in college, but you don't see them coming in really knowing how to block that well and you know, at the NFL level. You see some. Like, I think Jack Stoll, the guy, the undrafted rookie from Nebraska last year, I think he can block pretty well. But yeah, it seems that these tight ends that are coming into the game now are more like that wide receiver type. What do you think of that? Did you do much blocking when you were in college?
In college, I did not do much blocking until my senior year. And coming in, that's becoming less. If you have a tight end that's going to get drafted high, most of the time he's a guy that's going to be catching passes. You know, mm-hmm. He's a guy that you want to be out on your routes. But I think Dallas Goedert's 6'5", 260 pounds. He's a willing blocker. He's not going to be in a ton on your front side of your plays. You're not going to run power, you know, to the strength with him in there, you know, 10 times a game. But he can cut off the backside of his own. You know, he can hold his own on the front side of his own. And he's a solid blocker. I like Goddard in that regard. But like you said, there aren't that many tight ends. Looking down my top 10 list, you know, Andrews is solid. Kelsey isn't blocking that much. Kittle's solid. Kyle Pitts is a glorified receiver, in my opinion. Mm, yeah. Gesicki's not blocking. Gronk. Playing with Gronk and seeing how he plays, the reason I think he's the greatest tight end of all time, because this guy can block like an offensive tackle. It's incredible. The way Rob Gronkowski blocks and catches the ball and can run, I haven't seen a guy in my watching football or playing football that excelled so highly at both. Gronk is a phenomenal blocker, and obviously everybody knows about the other stuff he does, catching the touchdowns throughout his career in New England, and even now in Tampa. The guy had over 800 yards, up over 50 catches. Guy had a great season, still doing it, still getting it done. Mm-hmm. So Gronk, in my opinion, is really the gold standard for tight ends.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, we could get into the debate who the top 5 tight ends are of all time. Certainly Gronk is in that mix. And I agree with you, Clay, as far as Goddard goes. I think he is top 5 tight end in the NFL. And a great stat there about his targets versus the yards that he picked up. I mean, because I think you're going to see more targets for him in 2022. And Nick Sirianni talks about that all the time, is this offense runs through 88-6, you know, obviously Goddard and then Devontae Smith. So, you know, I think if he can stay healthy, and that's kind of been, you know, a little bit of a trouble spot, you know, he's missed some games, but if he can stay healthy, I think he can be even better. And he could take that leap from, you know, where you have him ranked at 5, which I agree with. I'm assuming Connor does also. Mm-hmm. I think he can take that leap into the top, you know, maybe 4, even 3. I know it's tough with Kittle
and Kelsey up there. And,
it's going to be difficult. But if he gets the targets of an increase and he continues with that yards per catch, you know, that yards catching the ball, I think he could climb higher.
I think Clay made a great point about him too in the beginning about the drops, though, because he does have a concentration drops problem. And again, that has some of the top receivers in the league, like Amari Cooper, has concentration drops like no other. I mean, it's a flaw that you can definitely succeed with, and he is, as we're alluding to right now. But I think that's just the one flaw in his game where I would like to see him improve upon, is the concentration drops, because it's always when he's wide open. He's wide open. Nobody's around him, and he drops an unfathomable pass. In Denver, I can think about that one time on the flat he dropped it. A couple times with Wentz against Washington, he did it as well when he was wide open. It's there always when no one's around him, and then he'll make the incredible contested catch like no other. So it's just a concentration drop problem. If he's able to fix that, he reaches that point where Ed's speaking of, if you ask me.
Yeah. And you mentioned Jalen Hurts is age 23. I think Goddard's only 26 or 27. So, you know, he's coming into what, you know, a lot of people think is the prime for an NFL career, right? That late 20s, you know, mid to late 20s age group. And the Eagles believe he can be that guy. They gave him a big deal. So, you know, I think he's definitely a big weapon on this Eagles team.
That shout out to Zach Ertz at the end, though, for your rankings. I mean, that's pretty big if you consider the fact that Zach Ertz, I mean, I don't want to be this guy, Clay, but, you know, he did replace you.
No, absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. You got Ertz and you got Goddard, who Goddard broke all my college records. You know, then you got Ertz, who gets drafted back when I was in Philly, and then I get cut. So those are the two guys. I'm like, man, these two guys. No, but you can't not state Zach Ertz's greatness, what he's been able to do for Philadelphia, helping with that championship team. And just the consistency over years. When they brought in Ertz, I'm like, obviously the guy's not like super flashy. He's not a guy that's gonna crush you in the blocking games, but he's so smart. He's got great hands. And it's like you can't argue with like, hey, this guy's gonna be a special player. You can see it. And I respect Zach Ertz, you know, even though that was a guy that end my career in Philadelphia. Respect the hell out of Zach Ertz, a phenomenal player. He's still getting it done. I think he'll have a bounce back year this year as well.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you also as well, the benefit to 12 personnel. It seems like the Eagles offense under Nick Sirianni shied away from it, but they're trying to recapture that 12 personnel look that they had under Doug Peterson's tenure. I know Andy Reid had a ton of staples of that as well while you were in Philadelphia. What is the advantage of 12 personnel? Why is it such a coveted offense for the old school type of coaches?
You need 12 personnel, and I love the 12 personnel with Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz, because here's the thing. You can go in a two tight formation and pound the ball, and then you can split these guys out. You got to have versatile tight ends, though. These tight ends that like Goedert that can play in the slot. Now you got a linebacker playing in the slot, because you have two tight ends come in. As defensive coordinator, you go, okay, they're trying to run the ball. You have a two tight, so let's bring in an extra linebacker. Okay, so you bring in the extra linebacker. Now you split them out. You got a guy like Ertz. You got a guy like, Kelsey, guy like Goddard. You got these tight ends that can do both. Oh, man, now they're split out. Now you got the linebacker trying to guard someone in the slot. You bring the two tight ends and they don't respect it, and they bring the nickel in, guess what? We're going to run the ball. You got to have a guy that can block. You'll take advantage of that smaller nickel on the tight end. You'll run the ball to the strength. So it's kind of like a chess match, and that's how you use it. You can bounce in and out of formations, keep the defense on their heels. That's why I always like 12 personnel, and that's why I always like to pride myself on the tight end that can do both. Because if you can't block and catch and run routes, you're kind of mitigating the advantage of having two tight ends on the field, because you can't utilize that mismatch for when they bring in a nickel or when they bring in an extra linebacker.
Do you think the Eagles have two tight ends that are capable of doing that and being successful in 12 personnel?
I think they need to draft a guy. I think they got some talent there. You got the former quarterback that could catch some passes. Jack Stoll. You got some guys that could play, but I still think maybe later rounds they try to find a guy that can they can really build on with being more versatile, be able to run around a little bit. It seems like it's kind of a weak tight end draft this year. I haven't really dove into the tight ends too much. There's so much flash and pizzazz in these wide receivers in the draft. I mean, I'm over here looking at all these wide receivers, and you got 10 wide receivers ranked in the top 74 on PFF. You got four, five, six first round grades on these guys. So It's an incredible wide receiver draft.
You put them on the spot with that question too. That was a really great answer, to be honest with you.
Absolutely. That tight end that's a converted quarterback, Tyree Jackson. I mean, he's kind of been plagued by injury the last
I like him.
Yeah.
As an athlete, and as the guy's got some size. He can move. He can obviously catch the ball. I went to a preseason game this year. I remember sitting there looking up on my phone. I go, who is this guy? I literally looked this guy up. And I'm like, this guy was a quarterback? This guy's making some plays. I was at a preseason game at the Link this year. You know, I'm good friends with TJ Edwards and came out to hang out with him. And wow, this is incredible. This guy's just a former quarterback. And obviously he got hurt, but I like him.
Yeah. It's funny because a lot of us reporters had the same reaction when I think it was either during OTAs or it must have been OTAs when we were allowed to go on the sidelines. We're all looking like, man, who's this dude number 80, man? I think it was number 80. Like, he's huge. We're all looking at our rosters. Tyree Jackson, quarterback. You know, we're all shocked because he's so tall. He really stands out. And then you see, like you mentioned, his athleticism. Then you can see what he does. And that's how he hurt his back, was he made a phenomenal catch during a practice in the end zone. He went up really high, and it was right in front of me. I was right beyond the boundary. Went up, you know, he skied up for it. It's 6'7", made a great one-handed snag, pulled it in, and then landed flat on his back. And everybody thought he just had the wind knocked out of him. But, man, you could hear the thud, you know, all the way over to the Link if you were at the Link. But, I mean, that's how hard he came down. And we thought, oh, man, I hope it's just the wind getting knocked out of him. But turned out he broke, I guess, you know, a couple bones in his back, and he had to rehab it and then, you know, tore his ACL when he got his chance late in the season. So hopefully if he can stay healthy, he can be a factor in you know, the Eagles' plans at some point this season.
Yeah, that's a guy that's got some tools that are hard to find for them to, you know, bring this quarterback. I didn't really watch much of his blocking, but what I did see was he was willing. You know, he was a guy that he wasn't scared. You know, a lot of you bring a quarterback or, you know, receiver over to tight end, the reason a lot of them can't make because they're, you know, they don't like the contact. He seemed like he was a willing guy, and you know, hopefully he can rehab and get back on the field and have a strong showing in training camp and really help the team.
Before we get into this Devontae Smith conversation, though, that was a little good plug by you about TJ Edwards. That's the guy that the Eagles expect a lot out of, and they gave him a 1-year contract extension. The fan base, as you know you're really into it on Twitter now lately, wants linebacker. This team needs linebackers. They crave linebackers. But I think the Eagles believe, I mean, that contract extension would at least allude to me that they believe that they have something in TJ Edwards. What are your thoughts on him as the Mike linebacker for the Eagles team then?
No, I think that the linebacking crew is looking better. Obviously, you got, you know, Reddick coming off the edge now. That's huge. Mm-hmm. You just signed Kazir White, who I think that's a steal. Yeah. And, you know, his contract details just came out, but you know, I think White's a steal. He's a little bit faster. He had 145 tackles last year. He ran a 4.6. You know, the knock on TJ has always been, you know, his speed. You know, he's a 4.8, 4.9 guy. But TJ is so smart, you know, coming out of Wisconsin. The guy, he was a quarterback in high school. In Wisconsin, they moved him to linebacker. The guy's just smart, and he's crafty, and he knows where he needs to go and what he needs to do. He was one of the best graded linebackers when he played last season. The guy was leading the team in tackles every week. If you look at when TJ started playing on the defense, I'm not saying it was all him. Look when they moved him into the starting lineup, and then look at what the defense started doing. That is a big part of it. When TJ started playing, that's when the defense started playing better and the Eagles started winning more games. He's that kind of player. He's a quarterback of the defense, really smart, intelligent guy. You bring in Kazir White, and you got, you know, Hassan Riddick coming in as well. I think that the linebacking crew went from, you know, a weakness to a strength. Obviously, you still got Taylor that can come and play as well. But I think it's looking good for a linebacker. I know the fans always want linebackers, but I really was happy with the move, White, and I think it'll be great.
It's interesting. You said he was a quarterback. I didn't know that TJ Edwards played quarterback.
High school quarterback. His best friend is my cousin, Andrew Spencer. So you go into the games watching Andrew play. Him and TJ grew up together. Andrew used to live with him. And then we all hung out and stuff. So TJ was their starting quarterback for 4 years on varsity. Quarterback. Wisconsin moves a linebacker. It's 'cause that's why he's such a smart player. He knows what the team's doing. So when he's looking over there, he's looking at the quarterback, looking at the formation, and that's why he's so smart at recognizing stuff.
Yeah. You see a lot of guys that come into college that change positions. Like Jason Kelsey was a linebacker at Cincinnati, and then they said, all right, let's try it center. Did you ever play another position in high school? Did you get changed when you arrived at Missouri State?
I was a wide receiver, and then I played wide receiver my freshman and redshirt freshman year. They moved me to tight end my sophomore season. I went from barely playing at receiver at Missouri State. I think I had like 10 catches as a freshman. As a redshirt freshman, I'm All-American, 70 catches as a sophomore, just at tight end when they move my position. That's the whole – if I'd played wide receiver, never. I might have been second-team All-Conference by my senior year. Instead, obviously it's FCS, but instead, you know, I'm a fourth-round draft pick, broke all the records, three-time All-American from Missouri State because I went from tight end to from wide receiver to tight end.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you made these comments, Devontae Smith is an elite, which I mean, I think it's fair to say that right now. I think it's completely fair, but you did get a lot of heat for it from the Eagles fan base as well. But also, from talking to you, knowing you, I know that Twitter has a limit on characters of how you can explain your thought process behind that. But give us your take on Devontae Smith and where he needs to improve upon and what kind of receiver the Eagles have in him.
Okay, so I said my actual tweet was Devontae Smith is not a superstar receiver. Mm-hmm. To me, to be a superstar, you have to be considered a superstar, you've got to be the top 10 in your position. I don't think he's in the top 10. I think he's right outside of the top 20. I think he's flirting on getting in the top 20. I think he can move up. He was a rookie. You know, what I think Devontae, so you look at Devontae Smith and PFF, he graded out as a 77. That's okay. He was fifth most deep receptions of anybody with receptions of over 20 yards last year. So he's getting the ball downfield. That's the type of receiver you want. You know, stretch the defense. He had 12 catches and hit the sixth highest depth of target. You know, take what you want with those stats. But what they tell me is he's a downfield threat. You want a downfield threat. You know, he's a guy that can run routes and stretch a defense. He had 64 catches, 916 yards, 5 touchdowns as a number one receiver. To me, you got to improve. Now you're 25th in yards as a number one receiver. You got to improve on that, right? You got to be better than that if you're number one receiver. Obviously, he's a rookie. I think he will improve. He's 175 pounds. I think he needs to bulk up a little bit. He's got obviously look at his numbers in Alabama. I mean, the guy was a Heisman Trophy winner, right? He had 1,800 yards, 25 touchdowns, incredible college career. Nobody can take that away from him. But I want to see more. You're a guy that gets drafted that high coming out of the draft. You're 900 yards, great rookie year, 60 catches, great rookie year. He's not a superstar yet. He's got some work to do. I think that he runs great routes, right? He runs great routes, but then I'll watch one of his. He'll run 10 great routes, then twice in a row he's gonna round a dig route or something. I think he's capable of running some of the best routes in the league. His hands, he'll catch a couple balls, you know, natural balls, and then you'll see him try to catch a ball with his body, or maybe he drops a pass here or there. I think he had a good season. I think he can be great, but I need to see more from him in the second season. And obviously, you know, people are saying, okay, well, is it the fact he didn't have a big time, receiver on the other side of him? Is it the fact that Jalen Hurts was struggling to get him the ball? I don't know that, but I think this year the Eagles will draft a receiver with one of their first round picks, and you'll have that guy on the opposite side. You're going to have Dallas Goedert on the inside. So you're going to have a lot of opportunities for these receivers. You're not going to be able to cheat coverage one way or another. I think it's a big year for Hurts and for Smith to really see what kind of players they are.
When you were with the Eagles to start off your career, they had still young receivers in Jeremy Maclin and DeSean Jackson still coming into their own.
Yes.
They're still trying to figure out quarterback because it was supposed to be Kevin Cobb. He went down. Then Vic came out of nowhere, exploded onto the scene. They had to roll with him.
Yeah.
His arm, obviously, as you know, is a lot more live than Jalen Hurts. But when you got to see the receivers build chemistry with the quarterback as the season went on because they weren't all there right away because they weren't expecting Vic to be the starter.
Yeah, the offseason.
You see Jalen Hurts, a second-year starter. You see rookie and Devontae Smith. when you're going back and you're watching this stuff and you're making this analyst, do you, how much do you blame Hurts for the lack of production for Devontae Smith or those issues you're speaking about with Devontae Smith? Because when I go back and watch the film, I see him frustrated a lot. I see him trying to, you know, when you're saying he's doing some weird things with his routes, or he's not doing the route that he was accustomed to doing. It seems to me that he's trying to get open for his guy because his guy's running around in the pocket. Because Jalen Hurts, as we know, he bails from a clean pocket a lot. So yeah. I think you have to, you know, move around and navigate around open fields for the quarterback. When you were watching DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin try to get acclimated to Michael Vick, do you think that's like the same issues the Eagles are facing this past season with Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith? I know they played together in college, but it's a different level. It's in the NFL, and you're establishing a new offense with Nick Sirianni's system. I think chemistry was definitely an issue there.
No, absolutely. And you got to realize what type of quarterback you got. So Devontae Smith and Jalen Hurts do have some background, though. They played together in college. So for me, it should be a little bit quicker than most. You do have some familiarity with this guy. You play with him, you know him, you play with him in college. You guys had a great season together. And, you know, Devontae Smith did get 101 targets last year. That's a lot of targets. I mean, that's still a lot of targets. He had 64 catches on 101 targets. He only had 3 drops on PFF, which is actually, you know, 64 catches, 3 drops. It's not bad. Obviously, you want to see, you know, maybe 1-2 drops, but 3 drops is great. But you just need more. From what I've seen, they just need to be more crisp. You don't see, obviously, it's not Devontae's fault, but right out the break. You know, he's running a 15-yard comeback. You need the ball right out the break. You know, 15-yard in, you need the ball right out the break. Hopefully they can work through that in training camp. You know, Devontae didn't have a training camp with the Eagles last year. You get more familiar with the guy. And you gotta realize, like, a guy like Vic, he's going to extend the play to 5, 6, 7 seconds. Scramble rules. Get comfortable with what he wants you to do, which way he likes to scramble. Do you want to go deep? Do you want to come short? And get on the same page with that. And, I mean, you look at Patrick Mahomes. How many of his plays are extended plays that have been 6, 7 with Tyreek Hill, 6, 7 seconds after the ball snap, 5, 6, 7 seconds after the ball snaps? He's making these big time plays. So that's something that Hurts has to take advantage of. He's never going to be as good as some of these guys right out the break, as crisp as some of these guys, but he can do other things that they can't extending the plays.
Yeah, I agree with you, Clay. I don't think Devontae Smith is he's not a superstar player yet. I think he has the ability to get there. I really thought he might go over 1,000 yards receiving. I really thought he had that ability. And maybe, you know, if he latches on to some of those targets and has maybe, you know, another 10 catches, he's over 1,000 yards. You know, the Eagles haven't had one of those receivers in, well, I guess since 2014, I think. Jeremy Maclin was the last receiver. Wow. I know Zach Ertz went over 1,000 yards 1 year, I think 2018, but a wide receiver over 1,000. Yes. And in this pass happy NFL, that is a stunning stat when you think about it. And I thought Smith probably should have gone over 1,000 yards. And I know a lot of that stuff you're saying about Hurts right on. And I think also, you know, they're a run based offense this year. After, you know, the first 5, 6 games, they can transition to more of a run based team. And listening to Jeffrey and Howie's words coming out of the owners' meetings down in Palm Beach this week, it really seems like they're intent on changing that, and they want to be a better passing team. And to do that, Devontae Smith has to go over, in my opinion, 1,000 yards receiving for them to do that, and then maybe he starts to reach that superstar level. But right now, he's not. I mean, I know he set the record for the most yards receiving by a rookie passing DeSean Jackson, but he did it in that extra game. He was still behind DeSean after 16 games, and that 17th game is what pushed him into that record. But to me, to become that superstar, you got to start churning out some 1,000-yard seasons here. I think you even need to up your touchdown total as well. 5 touchdowns to me. I think you need to be up closer to 8 touchdowns, 10 touchdowns before you can say, hey, yeah, he's a superstar.
Absolutely. 100% agree with you on that.
All right, Clay, because you're used to getting this question a lot, so I feel like I can spurn this on you real quick. Yeah. When you were with the Eagles, you know, it was Vic was the guy, but he had injuries, so there was a different types of quarterbacks in there at multiple periods of times, especially in 2012, Nick Foles, you know, Vince Young, It was supposed to be Kevin Cobb. My point is, when you were with the Eagles, they shuffled through quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Why do you believe? I don't know if you do believe this, but I'm just going to ask you right now. Do you think they should build with Jalen Hurts and give him time to avoid that shuffle that they had prior with the quarterback position? Because I think that's what they're looking at if they don't ride this out with Hurts.
Yeah, here's the deal. This year will tell you what you need to know, in my opinion. This year will tell you what you need to know. We all agree they're going to take a receiver somewhere in the draft, you know, at least first, second round, I think. You're going to get another playmaker receiver. You got Smith. O-line is looking good. You got Dallas Goedert, top five tight end. Okay. All right. This is not you. Now it's your second year. What are you going to do? So this year is huge for Jalen Hurts. You've got the pieces in place for him. He's only 23. Got the pieces in place. This year is huge for him. I say you give all in this year. If he struggles this season, has another year like he did last year, you know, 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, you know, not that great of a 87 rating, just middle of the pack to lower pack. Maybe you miss the playoffs. Maybe you get bounced in the wild card round like you did last season. Then I think you have an opportunity. You look what's out there, free agency. You look and you see what's in the draft. And if there's somebody you like, you go get them. But if he can do what I think he can do this year, last year I thought he left a lot out in the field. He's more comfortable, got a full offseason with Devonta and Goddard and the rest of his receivers. If he can do what I think he can do this year and they can have a good offense and you got a good running game still, you mix this running game with a good passing game with these big playmakers on the outside to go with Goddard, this offense, in my opinion, the NFC East is there to be taken. NFC East there to be taken. Obviously, Dallas, you got Carson Wentz with the Commanders, the Giants. What have the Giants done to get better? I think this is easily, not easily, but this is a winnable division for the Eagles. They've got better on defense, their linebacking core. We got a good pass rusher. You bring in a good receiver in the draft. I think this is a winnable NFC East this year. You go into the playoffs, and if Hurts doesn't do that, if he doesn't improve, and if the Eagles don't win the division, they don't make a, you know, win a playoff game, then I think you're in your rights to start looking for other quarterbacks. But at this point, you draft this guy, gave him a year. He's only 23. It's too soon to do that. Give him this season. Give him everything you can. Do everything you can to help him win games and to mature and improve. And if he doesn't, it's on him. But this year, which I think he will, play well, improve, and I think you could have a quarterback for the next 10 years.
And being within multiple organizations, I wanted to ask you this personally, since you would understand this more so than other former players. How hard is it to implement a new coaching staff and a new system? Like, how long? Where do you really see the progress from that? Because it was only year one with this Nick Sirianni system, new head coach, first time head coach, new defense coordinator. With you been in different organizations, how long have you noticed it usually generally takes to really establish that system so the players can thrive in it?
So like when Chip came in, I felt like the Eagles took the league by storm because nobody really seen an offense like that first year with you know, the mixture of Vic and Foles, and kind of took the league by storm. But as far as a player, it's tough. You have to learn a whole new system. You're coming in. I think having a second year in the system is huge. Knowing you get to really dive into the idiosyncrasies of each route, of each play, and you get to really progress those plays. Once you have a system in place, when you have to move in and digest an entire new system, it's difficult because it's more superficial. You find out what you need to do, all right, and you'll know what you need to do. But once you have a system in place for a couple of years, you go, okay, let's take a deep dive into this. So this is the whole concept of the route. Now you know the route as a whole. You know what everything means, what everything does. And you can start playing a smarter, more confident level of football because you know everything that goes around you. I think some players can do that with a new offense, smarter players. But young players, guys that don't know how to pick up an offense, it's a little more difficult. So I think it's great. The second year will be a big improvement for these guys. They know the system. Now they're going to be able to take a deep dive and look at each play, look at each different level of this playbook and really understand it on a higher level.
That's kind of where I'm excited to see Jalen Hurts, right? I mean, this is will be his second year in Nick Sirianni's system, and a lot's been made that, you know, he's had a different offense for the last 6 years, right? You know, he had different guys in college every year. Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma his last year, and then he comes in, he's got Doug Peterson, and now he's got Sirianni. So I think, you know, that speaks well of Hurts. I mean, he's got every advantage. You mentioned everything that's been put around him. Now his second year in the same system. I mean, these are big advantages for him that if he doesn't take you know, full advantage of them, then you're right. Then the Eagles, what do you do next at quarterback? If he does take advantage of them, you know, maybe they do have something for the next 10 years. That's a long time for a quarterback. You know, you don't see many of them. I mean, you know,
he's 23.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. He's 23. Yeah. I mean, that's another thing to his advantage. He's young. You know, he still has a future ahead of him, you'd assume. But he's got to take advantage of these things, I think, if he wants to, you know, be that guy for the next decade. No doubt.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So that does it for former Eagles outside linebacker Clay Harbor. I'm just kidding. I couldn't help myself.
You could have said former Southwest Conference record holder.
Oh, no, that's a little harsh. That's a little harsh.
Dude, just to set those records is awesome, though. You know, I mean, records are meant to be broken eventually, right? They don't stand forever. So, you know, just to have them at one point is tremendous.
No, yeah, thanks a lot, Dallas. Took all my records, and Ertz took my job. Man, these Eagles guys, man, it's tough. And apologize for my dog in the background. He heard you making fun of me with the outside linebacker, so he got a little angry.
So for everybody that missed that little sound bit I put in a couple episodes back, Chip Kelly tried to move Clay Harbor to outside linebacker from the tight end position.
Yeah.
When he first came to Philadelphia.
I told you that story.
Yeah, you did. I took a clip of that and I put it on our pod because I was like, I gotta let Eagles fans hear how crazy Chip Kelly was. This is an example right here.
I wish you'd have told me that in a locker room, Clay, back in the day. I mean, I would have had myself a pretty good story there, you know, but I get it, you know.
OTAs, man. He had me playing outside linebacker. Then I went up to his office and he had the open door policy. Like, hey, I want you to let me go. Like, I want to play tight end. He starts going over all the teams in the league that I can't play for. He doesn't think I can play tight end league. I'm like, hey, man, just release me. I skip the next couple OTA practices. I'm like, hey, like, I don't want to be here and play outside linebacker. Finally brings me back, and I'm playing tight end. Then after the first preseason game, I have a good game. He moves me to wide receiver. I'm playing Z receiver behind DeSean Jackson. And I'm like, dude, this is crap. I'm trying to lose weight, and then I'm the 54th cut. I'm the final cut of the whole season. End up signing with Jacksonville. They're first in the waiver wire because they were the worst team in the league. First game of the season, I catch a 15-yard pass against the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid. I'm like, wow, this NFL is crazy. That's my old coach right there. I'm like, hey, coach. Hey, crazy.
Yeah. That's a great story.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. Not for the part where Chip Kelly is kind of an asshole, but the rest of it is pretty good. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. This is Clay Harbor. I think we're going to have Clay on for more episodes to discuss the Eagles. Definitely. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Clay's also doing the Believe in Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, discussing Doug Peterson, our old friend, again, with me as well. Tuning into that also, and all of Clay's other ventures at ClayHarbs82 on Twitter. That's where you can find him for sure. And great football takes lately. Love it.
Yeah,
love
that you're back in the guys. Yeah. Appreciate you guys having me on. It's been fun.
Thanks, Clay. Awesome.
All right, yep. See you guys soon.
All right.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.